Hi, everybody. This is Marissa Carpigo, the film editor of thepopbreak.com. I'm here with my co-host, Matt Taylor. Say hello, Matt.
Hi, everybody.
And we're here for another installment of the Way Too Early Oscar podcast. We are running extremely late this year, so we are, instead of doing individual category episodes, we are combining four at a time.
And we're going fast.
And we're going fast, baby. We don't have time. You don't have time either. There's things to do. The four categories we are doing this time are... best original score, best original song, best adapted screenplay, and best, original screenplay. Let's start with the music categories. Best original score, American Fiction, Laura Cartman, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, John Williams, Killers of the Flower Moon, Robbie Robertson, it's a posthumous nomination, Oppenheimer, Ludwig Göransson, and Poor Things, Jerskin Fendricks. I hope I'm getting that remotely right, yep. Even though we did hear him speak at the Q&A.
Yes.
Let's see. Who's your pick for a winner? Who do you think, and if it's different from the person who's going to win, who do you think should have won?
Yeah, it's funny because should easily be Poor Things. One of the most incredible scores.
It's a brilliant score.
Yeah, I've heard in recent memory. None of these stand out. It's like an obvious winner to me. I kind of think Oppenheimer might get swept up it's going to have a great night.
Yeah.
And I could see it. And it's a good score. I'm not a huge Ludwig Göransson fan. I don't particularly love the score for Black Panther either. I'm vaguely, I don't hate the nomination here. Mm-hmm. And I would be fine with him, getting it.
There's no obvious dogs this year. Some that times off.
I will say, gun to my head, could not hum any notes from the American Fiction score.
Great point.
And with Indiana Jones, I am kind of like, where does the staple Indiana Jones score end and the new one begin? But yeah. It's John Williams, so I get it.
Yeah, I mean, they just saw John Williams and said, oh, well, cool.
Right, yeah. And I do love the Killers of the Flower Moon score, and I wouldn't hate that.
That one's good.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate that, especially, I didn't realize it was a posthumous nomination.
I didn't either, yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good one. You think Oppenheimer as well for
this one? I think you're right about it. It could be a night sweep kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this winner should be Poor Things. I mean, it is one of the best, most interesting scores of the year. Easily.
It's stunning. And I think about the last scene of that movie so often. Yeah. And how much the music does heavy lifting in that. It's a stunning score.
Such a part of the, he talked about it at the Q&A of, like, these unconventional sounds and, like, the weirdness of the film. But never, like... cloying or too like twee.
Yeah,
it's like perfect. It's like I remember when we saw it, I was like, God, that's just gonna get constant playing during Halloween for the rest of my life.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's like I think about scores that I would listen to as I go about doing work or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's very few scores that I made that list, but this is one where I'm like, no, I would absolutely like put them in the background.
I have to say, it's been a rough couple of years for scores, and we're like such movie score hounds.
Yeah,
and there's really not been a lot. I will say the only one other one I love this year is that Emily score from way early in the year.
Oh yeah,
that was such a good score, and one I actually do listen to quite a bit. It's sort of this atmospheric. You can feel the wailing of the Moors in the background. You know what I mean? Like appropriately so. I mean, I love that score, and I think that movie was so good.
Really good.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, that's my only other one this year. Usually I have, a list, but it's been a couple years since I had, a long list.
I will say I loved the Asteroid City score.
That is a good score.
Yeah, that, piano tune that, kind of echoes throughout the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Haunting, in the best way.
Yeah.
And I also really like... the Boy and the Heron score. I would have loved to have nominated.
I love Joe
Hisaishi.
Yeah,
just a career nomination. Mm. But yeah, it's
he should have won for Kikujiro in 99.
It is kind of crazy, just to not have a win yet. But
yeah, for someone who's done so many influential, incredible scores, someone who's transcended film people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's
wow,
they blew that one.
Yeah.
But
that's a big mess.
But it's those are my two standards. I like the creativity of the Blackberry score. Mm. And I gotta say, we'll talk about it more when we get to animated film. I think we might be the biggest elemental defenders in the world.
It's so embarrassing.
That score's really good, though.
It is good.
The score's really good.
That movie's so good. It's embarrassing.
You know, it goes against my brand and how much I enjoyed Elements.
No, it's so humiliating. I mean, that's like the first thing I say in my review. It's humiliating. All right, let's move on to Best Original Song. The Fire Inside from our jailer, Diane Warren for Flamin' Hot, which we both had to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Diane. I'm Just Ken from Barbie, music and lyrics by Mark Ronson and Andrew Wyatt. It Never Went Away from American Symphony, music and new lyrics by John Baptiste and Dan Wilson. Wajaji, A Song for My People from Killers of the Flower Moon, music and lyrics by Scott George. said George Scott, like the actor. What Was I Made For from Barbie, music and lyrics by Billie Eilish and Phineas O'Connell. Who do you think's going to win and who you think should win? Probably the same things at this point, I guess.
Mean, at this point, it's absolutely going to be What Was I Made For winning. Yeah. I think it's kind of crazy in a non-judgmental good way that Billie Eilish is going to have two Oscars.
No, they're both great songs, unfortunately. You can't argue with it.
Yeah, like, what a... You know, the other girls aren't doing it like that.
They're not.
Yeah, I will say... Just
they're the singing full voice and she's whispering.
Yeah, that's very true.
Not to be a bitch.
Sorry, Billie.
Listen, I like some of her songs, but I like when she sings.
I would just to combine the three things we're going to kind of talk about with this category. Yeah. I usually hate original song.
Mm. Famously.
This year... is one of the best years for original song, and none of them got nominated.
No!
And I have to say...
It's an embarrassment of riches for a year where they just ignored them.
They flopped so bad this year.
Flopped!
When I first heard Dance the Night Away over the summer, I was like, this is the best original song for a movie.
Since Last Dance with Donna Summer.
Honestly. An incredible song that is like... Honestly, I think Dua Lipa's best song, and
it might be.
Yeah, and then an incredible song used really well in the movie. The Billie Eilish song was also used well in Barbie. Like,
they're both used perfectly. Yes, you have to say that. Yeah.
No, like I'm just Ken getting in here, but not the Dua Lipa song.
Sick.
That's
misogyny at work.
Embarrassing.
No, it's so
Dance the Night Away should be winning the award, and instead we're not. We would have such a fun. Performance of Dance Night Away.
Oh, come on.
They dropped the ball here.
She gives us everything now.
It's so embarrassing the way it's really bad. They dropped the ball. Honestly, a lot of songs that were great, like...
My other pick is famously Heartthrob from Rocky Orani Ki Prem Kahani, which is honestly, truly a song I constantly listen to. This is not the first time or last time you will be hearing about Rocky and Ronnie on this friggin' program. I loved it. It's a Bollywood film. It's basically Barbie made in India, realistically.
Mm-hmm.
It's a comedy of manners. As you said, crucially, everyone in it is hot, and mm-hmm. including the grandparents, frankly. It's the best. I love it. And Heartthrob is basically the opening number. And it
sets the stage perfectly.
Exactly. And teenage girls literally screamed during it in my audience. They screamed. And they were right to do
so. Good for them.
Yeah.
I really loved this year I Want to Live Like This Forever from The Iron Claw. Beautiful song.
Yeah, that's a good song.
A movie we love.
I was sitting in the theater after the screening being like, oh, wait a minute, what's this about?
Yeah.
This should be on the list.
It should be. It's a great song.
Yeah.
And I also really, really loved a song that had no chance, but I'll give it a shout out. Eye for an Eye from John Wick 4 by Riga Sawayama.
Oh my god, that is such a good moment.
Incredible song. She literally slays in that movie.
Yeah.
Like
quite literally.
Quite literally. She's great in that movie. And also, honestly, this is so embarrassing. The original song from Elemental by Lauv. I don't know how you pronounce that.
Lauv.
Okay.
Lauv.
Yes.
Lauv.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. I like Lauv. I've
seen him in concert.
There you go. I've been a fan since I heard the trailer for all the Boys I Loved Before, and I was like, ooh, what song is this? His song from Elemental. On my Spotify playlist.
Lauv is really good.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was a fan.
I'm not going to argue with a Lauv situation.
The Academy dropped the ball with this category.
Oh, they really
year.
Did, yeah.
You finally could have had a great year, and instead...
And they still said, Flamin' Hot, Diane Warren.
Fuck it. Becky G is going to have to go to the Academy Awards
and perform.
Oh, it's so bad, that song. It's
awful.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
The movie's rough. I also don't remember it getting a qualifying run, but Gia Gunn gif of, I guess, they're letting everyone in here. And Diane, it's, I don't want, you can't win for Flaming Hot, but I am just kind of like, what else is there left?
I know.
That she's going to do to us? Like, it's...
If she promises to retire if we give her this one,
yeah,
she can have it.
Yeah, honestly, I would... Billy can donate one of her Oscars.
Billy can... She'll get another one. Yeah. At this rate.
Diane, it's just like... The woman wrote, Don't Want to Miss a Thing. It's mm-hmm. like, she's a legend. It's like... The Academy did this to us.
They did this to her. They did this to us.
Yes. And it's like, now we have to watch fucking Mila Kunis on Drugs movie.
Oh, my God.
We gotta watch...
what, Three Good Days or whatever the hell that was called?
Sure. we have to watch the cursed short film movie.
Oh.
About, like, being a woman.
Tell It Like a Woman.
There we go. And now Flamin' Hot. What else could there be?
What else could get worse?
I'm terrified.
What kind of torture must we be
keeping? I'm terrified to see what she does next.
Oh, God. All right. Well, let's move on to the writing categories. Best Original Screenplay. The nominees are Anatomy of a Fall, Justine Triet, and Arthur Harari. The Holdovers, David Hemmingson. Maestro, Bradley Cooper, and Josh Singer. May December, screenplay by Sammy Birch. Story by Sammy Birch and Alex Mechanic. Past Lives, Celine Song. I might take this one for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we all want May December to win. I kind of think it might be Past Lives. We're recording this before the WGAs have happened, I believe.
I think, yes, because they just announced the nomination.
Yeah,
they did a weird sort of schedule thing.
Yeah, usually we would wait until those happen, but we just do not have the time.
No.
But I kind of think people love Past Lives, and I think that'll be the only one it gets, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, it's only got two nominations.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see it going to Anatomy of a Fall.
Mm-hmm. That's the other one.
Yeah, that movie has a lot of love. And if you listen to our other episodes, actually, no, this episode won't be out there yet by the time. Yeah. But I think that movie's a little bit dumber than its fans want to.
Yeah.
It requires you to really turn off your brain.
It's a Wives with Knives episode, and I think we can say that in a nice way, but it's prestige, and I think that's great.
Yeah, no, I love it.
We need those kinds of films.
It's a very, very entertaining movie. I just, at this point in the race, I'm kind of like, can we stop acting like it's, like...
The Second Coming.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a good melodrama that my parents can watch on TNT in a few years.
And we can just call it that.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't begrudge the win, though.
No, 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 no.
And
it's solid.
I will say, I mean, obviously, I want May December to win. Mm. That would be, and also, honestly, Holdovers would be a good win. Past Lives would be a good win. Mm-hmm. I would rank all three of those above Anatomy of a Fall, but I don't hate Anatomy of a Fall winning. Honestly,
no, it's a solid category. Yeah. It's just this is a favorites of, or non-favorites.
Yeah, exactly. It's Maestro is the worst script in this.
It barely has one.
Yeah, I don't even really hate it. It just
no.
kinda, I'm just, listen, someone left Snoopy in the vestibule, and
that's... Who left Snoopy in the vestibule?
Yes, that's...
And then Snoopy coming back later, floating by in the window? Come on.
That's, you know, a war right there.
Find a better payoff.
I hope that's the clip they show.
They friggin' better.
Academy, listen, don't fuck it up.
Oh my God.
Who left Snoopy in the vestibule?
Who left Snoopy in the vestibule? It's his day, damn it. Anything you would have... Well, of course, you have a list. What are the other things you would have put up for a nomination here?
I mean, I really... Listen, our boys in the Iron Claw. I'm
come on,
what
baby.
A good script. What a good script.
The way it they write it like Greek tragedy. Mm-hmm. Come on.
That first scene where in black and white when they're like setting the stage with his family, I'm like, shit. They're running. This movie's running.
Every friggin' like... Every interaction is so well written, and there's so much emotional potency and like history and everything that's there. It's so smart.
It's so good.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I also really love the script for Asteroid City. I think it's one of Wes Anderson's best scripts.
I think that's his best movie in years.
Yeah, it's incredible.
To be completely honest.
And also a movie that really never got much attention. We speaking about how Neon and A24 really can't juggle multiple balls. Showing Up, great movie, great script.
I never saw it.
It was barely released.
I know. It was impossible to see.
But very good script. And Michelle Williams and Hung Chow are also really, really good
yeah.
in it as well.
My only two of the year are like two comedies that truly never would have been in the conversations, but Bottoms and Theater Camp. Well, I guess Theater Camp might actually be it.
Theater Camp's adapted.
I was going to say it's adapted, so we'll talk about that in a second. Yeah. But Bottoms is so fucking funny.
And like, so original.
Yes. Yeah. There's nothing. I mean, it's taking a lot of cues from like 90s, maybe late 90s, early 2000s comedies, I would say, like sex comedies and like. Well, even something like Animal House is in the DNA. Do you know what I'm
saying? Heathers, like, like a little bit heightened, yeah.
So, yeah, like, that is such a interesting, fun, funny, smart film. And it's got, like, a lot of people who are hot right now in it, you know? So, like, yeah, I don't know. That would have been a cool thing. But it's just too niche.
It's
whatever.
Too weird, yeah. Like, honestly, that and Theater Camp are movies that we're going to watch in 10 years and be like, wow, all these people were in this movie? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's completely true. Any others to you?
No, that's my original screenplay.
All right, well, let's go on to adapted. Best adapted screenplay nominees are American Fiction, Cord Jefferson, based on the novel Erasure by Percival Everett. Barbie, Greta Gerwig, and Noah Baumbach, based on characters created by Ruth Handler, which, you know, that's so, as if, character, I mean, like, Barbie is an original screenplay. Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan, based on the biography American Prometheus by Kai Bird and Martin J. Sherwin. Poor Things, Tony McNamara, based on the novel by Alistair Gray. The Zone of Interest, Jonathan Glazer, based on the novel by Martin Amis. Solid group, actually.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to win? Who do you think should? Blah, blah, blah.
So going into the year, when the nominations were announced, and there was all this narrative around Greta missing out on Best Director and Margot missing out on Best Actress, things like that, I really thought this was going to go the way of Barbie getting adapted screenplay as like a sort of consolation
thing. As the Argo of it all.
Yes. I will say, I don't think I think almost, you know, if I'm going to get a little galaxy brain here, online was just too angry about it, and it led to sort of like that...
an almost backlash.
Yeah, like that wave crashing too quickly. And
even
it was,
you and I were like, come on.
At a certain point, it was like, should we quit the podcast? Should we not do this anymore? Yeah. But I think the passion is still behind Oppenheimer, and I think, you know, I just think the passion's there for it to get the win. I could maybe see something like American Fiction surprising, because similar to Past Lives, which you were saying, like, it's the best place to honor the movie that's not going to win in the other categories.
Yeah.
But I kind of think Oppenheimer's going to have a sweep of a night.
Yeah, it does seem like that. I mean, people fucking love it, and it's winning tons of shit, so... Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would really love to see Barbie win, because I think, if you look at these, it's the one with the loosest thing that they're coming from.
It's the most original adaptation, I guess. Yeah,
it's like, one of these things is dolls, and the others are books.
Yeah.
There's kind of a big difference there.
Yeah. From what I understand, Zone of Interest is very loosely adapted from the book that it's based on. And also,
I've heard that too.
Yeah, and not for nothing, like...
Poor Things as well, a little bit.
Yes, yeah. I think Poor Things leaves a lot in the book that was not even adapted.
Yeah.
And Zone of Interest, a very powerful movie. Not one that I think the script is the thing that stands out.
No, it's the sound work.
Yeah, and like the direction and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I would love to see Poor Things win of these five.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad at that.
Yeah, but Oppenheimer, I think, will be the one taking it.
So extra ones I mentioned already, Theater Camp, the funniest film I've ever fucking seen. I swear to God.
So funny.
I want to watch it again. It's so enjoyable. It's just, what a funny fucking movie.
Yeah.
That's like, I guess a little niche, but like, I don't know. I think everybody kind of knows that like person who's too passionate about, I mean, pot kettle here in this situation, but you know, like that just won't shut up about it or whatever. But like, yeah, I don't know. I think that movie is so funny. The only other one that I can think of is, again, another movie I'm going to mention a lot, Origin, which, like, realistically, Origin is adapted from real life and a nonfiction book. And I think that movie does really impressive structural stuff and, like, work, getting those disparate things together in anything coherent.
Yeah.
You know?
It reminded me of, when it was announced that Ava was doing a film based on Cast, I was like, that seems like such an insane challenge to take on. Like, I was like, what's going on here? It reminds me, honestly, of one of my favorite screenplays, Adaptation, by Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, grew out of his attempt to adapt The Orchid Thief by Susan Orlean, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, yeah, it's, you know, very impressive that she managed to put together a film out of what is, you know, a monumental but, like, very non-adaptable book, basically.
And one, it never feels didactic or boring. You know, it's constantly interesting. I mean, she's a really audacious filmmaker in a way I don't think we acknowledge much.
No, I think, you know, she's not a filmmaker who I don't think she always hits it out of the park, I guess is the way of putting it, but I think she is someone who I'm always interested in what she was going
to do. She's always trying things in a way that you don't see a lot.
Yes, and I am forever grateful that she, like, we get to see her vision every couple of years everything. Yeah,
totally.
I can mention Blackberry again as one of my scripts in the five, but the one I really want to talk about is The Killer by David Fincher, written by Andrew Kevin Walker. Mm-hmm.
Adapted from a Wendy Williams quote.
Yes, but I love this movie, and in the classic way of Netflix, fully lost time, I think, already. Maybe Criterion will release it eventually, like how they do for some of theirs.
Seems likely.
But it is a movie that I basically see as American Psycho for the tech bro generation.
Okay, go
and
ahead.
I think it is such a clever screenplay. Really, really funny as like this like really sick dark comedy, basically. Mm. And a movie that I, you know, think about quite a bit, and I might be one of the only five people maybe not involved in the film that thinks about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, I didn't love it, but I don't begrudge that. I just, it's, you know, it just didn't work for me.
No, and Netflix is not even trying. So Netflix is like, don't watch this. Watch, I don't know,
Love is Blind season 15.
Yeah, One Piece. Why not?
You want to One Piece.
I'm trying to get the most random
pull
I can
get. That is, you're right.
But, you know, I'm happy Dave Fincher got to make his little sicko movie. And Blackberry, great screenplay as well.
Yeah.
Movie that I really, really love.
That's, you're the number one Blackberry fan.
Yeah. I mean, another one where IFC is giving it just a bare bone DVD release. And I'm like, well, at least we're getting one. But I am just kind of like, what is with people not releasing?
I think that's how I watched it. I got it from the library.
Yeah, it's
on DVD.
You know, I mean, it's a 90-minute movie that they cut into 3 30-minute episodes, and they were like, now it's a miniseries.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what is going on? Like, girls, what's happening?
They'll try anything over there. any other things you want to bring up before we wrap this episode up?
No. You know, it's I think this is a pretty good year for movies, and
yeah, it's decent.
Yeah,
we've had some real dogs in the last couple of years, in the pandemic years there.
And listen, we, you know, thankfully, mostly good times. So I would be genuinely, there's not any winners here that I'd be like horrified by.
No. All right, those are the four categories. We busted through those.
Yeah, we got it. We're down to the wire.
There's no time.
The Academy is making us run.
You can find me on all platforms at Marissa Carpico. I may be have something on thepoprake.com writing wise. Unlikely given the closeness of the awards and the busyness of my real life work. Matt, where can they find you?
You can find me on Letterboxd, Matt T.
All right, there it is. Thanks for listening, everyone.